the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Well, Elon Musk has failed to persuade senators to go against the big bill, the big beautiful bill, as Donald Trump likes to call it, which will, of course, add enormously to the American debt, but of be of great benefit to the wealthy Americans, while it will cut things like Medicare for the poorest in American society. Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas with us. Marion, before we get to what's happened in the Senate in the last half hour or so, just tell us a little bit, please, about how Elon Musk has returned to take shots at Trump over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, he sort of returned with a vengeance because it seemed like they'd settled into a bit of an uneasy truce there. And then he came back with a post on X saying it's obvious with the spending of this bill, which increases the debt ceiling by a record $5 trillion. We live in a one-party country, the Porky Pig Party. It escalated. There were several other texts.
He said insane spending as well. And then the line, that provoked, he said, time for a new political party that actually cares about the people. And then he went after the Republicans saying, how can you call yourself the Freedom Caucus if you vote for a debt slavery bill, but the biggest debt ceiling increase in history?
Well, exactly. And he said all of those things. And he also threatened to fund the primaries of every Republican who voted in favour of this bill, which I think was probably the one that got Trump's ire the most. But it's a little bit rich to hear Elon Musk worrying about the good of the public, really, given the slashing and the suffering that he caused with his Doge attack on American and federal institutions and other institutions. Look, the thing is, when it comes to power versus money, power wins every time. Elon Musk is not going to realistically set up a third party. He's not a popular guy. He's not a light guy. Trump came back swinging today, it has to be said, and pretty well said. You know, I mean, this could end up, if Musk isn't careful, with him being one of the first inmates in this alligator Alcatraz place that Trump was down at today. He said basically the government might take all of the money back, that he might turn Doge on Elon Musk himself, that it could be the monster that eats Elon Musk, basically. I'm paraphrasing here. And he even went so far as to suggest that he might be going back to South Africa. So just the viciousness of this feud and the way it has erupted again so rapidly and so intensely, it really speaks to the mercurial personalities of both the characters involved and their enormous egos. But as you mentioned, and the bill has been passed in the Senate at least,
and we'll get to that in a second, Marion.
It's going to get much traction.
Okay, but Cal Thomas, you dislike the increase in the national debt and believe it's a major problem for the United States. So would you have sympathy what Elon Musk is saying about the inappropriateness of Trump's measures, which will increase the national debt so significantly?
Well, this is typical Washington, Matt. I mean, I was born in Washington. I grew up there. I've lived there most of my life. This is the way it's done all the time. It's disgusting. We have a $36 trillion debt. Marion's right. It's almost $5 billion added to the debt. It just never stops. And what happens, for example, the Senate Majority Leader John Thune met with Lisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska, at 3:45 this morning. 3:45 in the morning in his office, and I know without even being there, he offered her certain things in exchange for her vote. This is the way it does all the time, and it's why the debt is never cut. Now, here's the way they play the game. They give conservatives and Republicans some things they want. Maintaining the tax cuts, securing the border, getting rid of fraud in Medicaid. There are billions of dollars of misspent money by people who don't deserve it, who are able to work and not working, who are getting Medicaid funding. And then they go about with the pork, and Musk is right about this. There is so much pork in this bill. It's over 900 pages. I guarantee you not a single senator has read it all, although the Democrats made the clerk of the Senate read the entire thing, which is one of the reasons the vote was delayed until today.
Okay, but let's hear a little bit about Trump. When asked about whether he might deport Elon Musk, just to warn you, there is aircraft noise in the background, but I think it is worth listening to.
I don't know. I think we'll have to take a look. We might have to put Doge on Elon. You know what Doge is? Doge is the monster that might have to go back and eat Elon. Wouldn't that be terrible? He gets a lot of subsidies, Peter. But Elon's very upset that the EV mandate is going to be terminated. And you know what? When you look at it, not everybody wants an electric car. I don't want an electric car. I want to have maybe gasoline, maybe electric, maybe a hybrid, maybe someday a hydrogen. If you have a hydrogen car, it has one problem. It blows up, you know? So I'm going to give that one to Peter. I'm going to let Peter test it out. The hydrogen cars, and when they blow up, it's serious. They find you 5 blocks away.
Okay, there's a number of things there, Cal. I don't think he's going to deport Elon Musk, even though maybe historically Musk may have done things on his visa application that were incorrect. Mm. But could it be that Trump would actually seriously impact on the subsidies that Tesla has got and even on things like SpaceX? Or are they too big and too important, particularly SpaceX, to the American economy to take that risk? Is this just an empty bluff?
Right. Well, I think it probably is an empty bluff, Matt. And you're right about Starlink, especially. I mean, this has been a valuable service during tornadoes and hurricanes when regular phone service and cell phone towers have been knocked out. It's been incredible. And Musk has sent people to the International Space Station that NASA couldn't do. So I think he has made some enormous contributions. But this is typical over-the-top talk by Trump. Trump has never been accused of modesty in anything. And so he's bloviating, and I don't think he's going to follow through on any of that.
And Marion, suddenly, the man who used the White House lawn to facilitate a Tesla car sale a few months ago, is it even a few months ago, is now not only saying he doesn't like electric cars, but feeds into the conspiracy theory that they blow up and go on fire. What's that going to do to sales of Teslas, would you reckon?
You know, I was thinking exactly the same thing. I was thinking there was the guy who, you know, a couple of weeks ago was a car salesman for Tesla, displaying them on the lawn and exclaiming it's all computer, you know, and now we have this nonsense. I agree with Cal. Tesla, well, Musk and the Starlink and his SpaceX project, it's not just that it's too big to fail. The government's too dependent on it to let it fail. I remember talking to a former Pentagon person who was alarmed at the way they were phoning up Elon Musk and pleading with him not to shut down Starlink over Ukraine, that the power he had over the Pentagon, he said they essentially had them over a barrel. So that would be very, very messy. But what is really concerning in this, and Elon Musk is right to be concerned, is in this bill, and there are many things there's no time to talk about at all, but not just does Trump strip out all of the benefits for green energy, he's putting a tax on green energy, which the construction green energy projects, and including EVs, which the construction industry and other industries reckon will cost up to 1.75 million jobs. It is a disaster for climate change. He's giving subsidies to coal plants, for God's sake, in this bill. So Elon Musk, I think, has legitimate reasons to be concerned, even if they are entirely tempered by his own self-interest. Objectively, there are things in this bill that are absolutely disastrous for the American economy and for the climate and for the planet.
Okay, although I believe he has just posted quite recently that Elon Musk, so tempting to escalate this, so, so tempting, but I will refrain from now. Oh, so it's not really Trump who chickens out. Yeah. Maybe this is Mako Cal. Musk always chickens out.
Oh, self-control. Whoever thought Trump would be accused of that? I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay. Tell us, Carlo, if it's gone through the Senate, does that mean that this bill, despite the reservations of many Republican House of Representative members, is going to get through?
Well, it would appear so. Speaker Mike Johnson just put out a statement immediately after the Senate vote. It goes back to the House now, because in our American system, if a bill is passed in one chamber, the House or Senate, that differs from the other chamber, it has to go back and be reconciled before a final vote in both chambers, and then it goes to the president for signature. In the Speaker's statement this morning, he said it will get done by the July 4th holiday. So that's, 3 days away.
Cal, you know, you mentioned about, you know, fraudulent use of Medicare and stuff like that, and there probably are cases of it. But as a listener says, the major waste in America is the billionaires hoarding all the money, forcing other people to work two or more jobs to survive, to provide the billionaires with their profits and with their money. And is that not a fair criticism to make? That no. Basically the debt is going to go up because of a whole range of tax cuts for the better off. That this is a great swiss. This is a great grift being performed on the American people who voted Trump in.
You should be working for the Mamdani campaign in New York City, Matt. He doesn't think there ought to be billionaires. Look, if you make $1 billion and I only make $10,000, that has nothing to do with me. There's no fixed pot of money. This is an across-the-board tax cut. People who pay taxes will get a tax cut, an income tax cut. And that, in the past, beginning with John F. Kennedy, by the way, and up through Ronald Reagan, has produced economic advancement in this country. It's always done that way. The fact that some people make more money than I do, I don't care, as long as I have an opportunity to make as much as my talents and my work ethic demand. So this whole idea that because people are making billions of dollars, and there are very few of them compared to the 350 million Americans, that somehow that is depriving people of an income is just the false Democrat narrative that we've heard for 50 years.
Cal, I would disagree entirely with you, because it was even the likes of Warren Buffett who previously said that he paid less in tax as a percentage of his income than his secretary, because the tax system is set up to allow the billionaires and the very wealthy write off various things and effectively pay a lower rate of tax when they have an enormous amount of additional money.
That's the problem with Congress that writes this legislation, Matt, and they write it often because of the lobbyists who give them political contributions to keep them in office. So all of these laws are written by Congress. Warren Buffett, to the average middle class person, is simply using the laws that have been written by Congress. The tax code is indecipherable. If anybody's ever tried to read it, it's like a foreign language. You can't decipher. It's over 1,000 pages long, and when you add all kinds of interpretations and regulations, it's hundreds of pages more. So the problem is in Congress, and they need to change the law if we're going to have a more equitable system.
But Cal, the law has been changed by Trump to make it even better for the billionaires and for the wealthy people.
Trump can't change any laws. That's up to Congress to do. And, you know, the billionaires, the wealthy, pay the most taxes. Over half the country pays all the taxes. The other half doesn't, other than Social Security and Medicare taxes. Half the country does not pay an income tax. The other half does.
Let's go to you, Marion, and tell me about the alligators.
Yeah. Well, I will, but can I just say first on that very quickly that, you know, Cal may have a point that a lot of people will agree with. The problem that a lot of Americans have, and there's huge opposition to this bill, is the way these tax cuts are being funded for these billionaires. They're being funded by stripping $900 billion in aid, in medical aid and food stamps for the poorest Americans. So you know what? If you're a billionaire and you pay low tax, that's fine. Knock yourself out. But when you're being subsidized by America's very poorest in the programs that they are relying on for their survival, then that's a whole different thing. And this bill is hugely unpopular with America. It's about 20% to 29% disapproval rating over approval. More than half of Americans disapprove of this. Trump's MAGA base, when this hits them, and it will hit them hard, they are going to rise up against Trump. And I really do think that. But back to the alligators. This is really a disgusting story, quite frankly. Trump and Kirstie Nome, his Homeland Security Secretary, and Stephen Miller, his White House policy advisor, seem to take enormous delight in coming up with ways that are as cruel and humiliating and terrifying to deal with migrants as they possibly can. And the latest one is Ron DeSantis, no slouch in the sadism department, who has set up in the middle of the Florida Everglades. It's a disused airstrip, and they've put a camp where they're going to keep migrants, where they're going to house them in tents, I think, initially. Until they're being flown out and deported. Now, I've been to the Florida Everglades. I can tell you the temperatures, and I'm sure you know it as well, Cal, the temperatures are absolutely brutal. I was there one night. It was 92 degrees at nighttime. The humidity is appalling. The place is a swarm of mosquitoes and bugs, but the whole area is surrounded by swampland that is completely infested by alligators, probably 200,000 or 300,000 alligators, and also at least 1 million Burmese pythons. And I did a story about about the invasion of these 20-foot long Burmese pythons in the area, and panthers and bears and lots of other wildlife. And they seem to be taking delight, Trump in particular, in talking about how basically these alligators would act as prison guards for the migrants who are brought there for deportation. Now, he keeps calling them the worst of the worst and vile criminals. Let's not forget that it is a civil offence in America to be in America without your papers, and that the number of people that they've picked up who are violent criminals is far less than the number of people who have never been charged with anything, like the 67-year-old woman who was gardening in New Orleans the other day, an Iranian woman who'd been in America for 47 years, and she was picked up and taken by ICE. You know, the inhumanity of this and the glee with which they are boasting about this cruelty and these conditions that they're going to inflict on these people is really disgusting and very, very un-American as far as I'm concerned.
Just before I go to Colinus, let's hear a little bit of Donald Trump on this today. Again, it might be a little bit difficult to hear because of the aircraft noise in the background, but he was asked if the idea of alligator Alcatraz is that if some illegal immigrants tried to escape, they'd get eaten by an alligator or bitten by a snake.
I guess that's the concept. This is not a nice business. I guess that's the concept. If snakes are fast, but alligators are, but we're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
So, Carl, all a big laugh, is it, about maybe people who have committed no crime? No crime, may have civilly, that they are not right to be in America, but they have not committed a crime, that they would be forced to live in these conditions, and we'd have a big laugh if we have a sort of a real-life version of the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Matt, I think there's a streak of cruelty that runs through Donald Trump. You can ask his ex-wives and a lot of other people. And I think it's very unfortunate. Whatever their conditions or whatever the charges might be against them, they're still human beings and deserve to be treated as such. That doesn't mean that we overlook any laws that may have been broken in the United States. But I think just from a political standpoint, if Trump and the administration sounded and behaved in a more humane way toward these people, they might get even better support from the voters and from the public. This is going to be a very serious continuing issue. And I think, you know, a lot of people who are not well-versed on political issues are well-versed when it comes to treating their fellow human being with some kind of dignity.
Carl Thomas, thank you for that. And Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.